From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 25th day of August, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett at agmarket.net. We'll have an update of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour from Brian Grady at Pro Farmer, along with Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities, and then we'll close out our time together by discussing the weather forecast with Mike Tenura at tstormweather.net. All on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, September corn today settled at 657.5, 8.25 lower. December down 7.25 cents, settled $6.50 in the March contract at 656 for the corn, down 6.75. September soybeans 8.25 lower, $15.52.5 a bushel. The November new crop, $14.31.25, 25.75 lower. January down 25.5 at $14.36.25. The bean meal at 458, down 970. The bean oil, 69.09, up 32 cents. Wheat futures soft red, down 25.25, $7.69.75 the settlement price there, and the hard red September at 869, down 27.25 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract at 143.65. That's down 12.5 cents. Feeders at 185.52.5, $1.07.5 lower, and the lean hogs at $91.10, 72.5 since lower on the day. Crude oil at $92.86 a barrel, down $2.06, and the diesel fuel 4 7/10 lower at $3.91. The wholesale price of gasoline at 2.65 8/10 cents per gallon, just about a penny lower. Matt Bennett from agmarket.net is here now. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us. Tell me a little bit about what you've seen this week in the marketplace.
You know, the interesting thing is early in the week, the Pro Farmer Tour results, in my opinion, were swaying the market. You know, you're able to see a little bit of a bullish enthusiasm based on South Dakota, Nebraska, Ohio numbers. Came in last night with an Illinois number at 190, and I think a lot of folks thought, wow, that's really going to rally the market. But really, it's not that big of an outlier for the way that the tour goes. And so, for instance, I guess just for comparison's sake, I believe it was in, I'm trying to think of what year it was. I believe it was in 2017. The tour showed like a 180. And I believe the final yield that year was 201. So the tour usually runs lower than what the yield is. You know, I don't know that it's always going to go 20 bushel under, but you know, I still feel like Illinois is going to be an awfully solid yield. And interestingly, Todd, if you look at where the tour goes, I'll tell you what, the soil moisture indicators and drought monitors actually show that a lot of the routes the tour is on this year are some of the driest areas of the Corn Belt. So whatever the tour comes out with, my personal thought is that, you know, we might end up a little bit higher than that. And I'm probably lower than the USDA's number, but I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here. And I think the market's trying to figure it out as well.
Yeah, for Illinois, the numbers, by the way, are 190.71 this year, 196.3 last year, 189.4 and 20, 171.17 in 19, and 192.63 in 18, and then you had the 2017 number. Does it really change very much in your mind going into the September USDA reports?
You know, I think that you'll see the USDA reports have to scale back a shade. It just seems to me that that's the trend that this crop has gone on. I do think there's a lot of problem areas, as we've evidenced. Some of the heat causes us issues, not only with the ear size, but with pollination. And so, you know, it sure seems to me that the tour has been surprised because essentially each state has come in substantially below expectations. And so I've got to think that you're going to have to back off this yield just a little bit. But that's just my presumption at this point in time.
Given all of that, the commercials seem as if they believe that the marketplace still needs corn.
Yeah, I believe so. And, you know, we see that locally. We see this in other areas. The cash bid for corn and beans in a lot of places is just on fire. You look at, for instance, the first half a set bid locally, I think, or September 10th, I believe, is the date. You know, you can still get 40 to 65 over, depending on which delivery date you're talking, over the D's. And so, obviously, there's still $7 corn. That's for new crop. And so, you know, the commercials, in my opinion, are still going to be hunting, especially for those early bushels, because I think we're going to be coasting in, especially regionally speaking, on fumes.
So we have not many bushels left in the bin. Looks like we have, let's go with an average crop in the United States at this point, or trend line, not too far off what USDA is doing at the moment for corn. What do we have to watch? Is it now a demand issue that we're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, the demand, for instance, you know, we're going to watch a variety of things. But for instance, what do fertilizer prices look like for the 23 crop? What do fertilizer prices look like for the South American grower? And so that's a global marketplace. It's a futures marketplace. And we've got to understand that, you know, just because the U.S. doesn't produce what we originally thought, that doesn't mean we're going to the moon. I mean, heck, Todd, we're talking 650 corn as you and I are talking right now. That's a heck of a price. I do know that our crop went in the ground pretty expensive, but still, we got to be realistic about where we want to be bullish and where we want to be protecting profits.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That is Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. Each day this week, we've been following the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. You can find more information about the tour and a running tally from the field on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Last night, tour results were released for the state of Illinois and parts of Iowa. Brian Grady, editor of the Pro Farmer newsletter and leader of the eastern leg of the tour, has the numbers.
For Illinois, a yield of 190.7, down 2.8% from year ago. Soybean pod counts in a 3x3 square, 1249.7, down 2.4% from year ago. What we found was more consistency in Illinois than we'd seen in Indiana and Ohio. The ear counts were really consistent. Grain length was more consistent, not as much tip back. But the grain length wasn't as long as what we've seen in some other years in Illinois, and that's probably going to hold that corn crop back. Soybean moisture is good, so there's quite a bit of soil moisture still in the state, and that should help the soybean crop into the finish line. Now, in western Iowa, crop district 1, corn yield down 1.5% from year ago. District 4 in west central, down 10.1%. And District 7 in southwest Iowa, down 9.8%. So obviously the crop in west central and southwest Iowa was hurt by that drought that impacted areas in Nebraska and South Dakota as well. Northwest Iowa, while it was down, it wasn't down nearly as much as those other two districts. On soybean side of things, District 1 Iowa and northwest Iowa unchanged from year ago on a pod count in a 3x3 square. District 4 in West Central was up 2.8%, and in District 7 in Southwest Iowa down 10.5%. So by all means, the soybean crop has fared better in Western Iowa than what the corn crop has, but it does have some struggles, especially in the southwest portion of the state. West Central and Northwest Iowa soybean crop there is a little bit better than probably what was anticipated coming out of after scouts came out of Nebraska with the extreme changes there year over year.
That was Pro Farmer's Brian Grady. We'll talk with him again tomorrow during the closing market report. He'll have the national results, not from the tour, but from the Pro Farmer analysis of the tour results. Well, Sherman Newland now joins us, I believe, somewhere. He's either in Iowa or Minnesota as we talk. Still walking out of a field, if I can hear things correctly. Sherman, where are you?
I am in Minnesota today. We just passed through Darfur, getting ready to go to Buttertown, so, yeah, I'm in southern Minnesota, heading east, and we're heading south at the moment. And then that'll probably, a few more stops will be the end of our route today, because we split a route, so we'll deadhead about 2 hours on into Rochester this evening for the final meeting tonight.
So what part of Iowa and Minnesota have you traveled through? What was your route like today?
Today we just left Spencer and deadheaded up to Minnesota. So we had about an hour drive before our route started. So that's where we're at. And like I said, we've been moving across southern Minnesota, heading east, kind of jogging up north and east, up north and east. So that's where we're at.
So you should be in very good corn country, and I would think in very good corn in Minnesota. Is that right?
Yes. Everything today is way better than we've seen, which we expected. You know, good soil. They've had plenty of moisture. I mean, we're pulling, I think we're about 13 bushels higher than our route was on numbers. We're pulling, some 200 plus yields. So that's good. I mean, we really haven't seen anything bad. Plant health has been good. Like I said, good stand, good counts. We're averaging 223 actually, over, and last year it was 210 on the exact same route.
And yesterday, what did Iowa look like, and what part of Iowa were you in?
Pottawatomie was the first county we stopped in, which there's a lot of terraces. So that's kind of neat to see how they farm that area. But it was in the low 200s. Our car average was 186, so we were 14 bushel less than last year. We kind of zigzagged our way up to Spencer. So we're on the western side, like a county or so off the border. And we never really did get into anything super dry. Plant health looked pretty good, but overall, the corn was a little bit less than last year. I don't know. We kind of talked about it last night. It was okay, kind of what we expect to see in that part of Iowa. Nothing super big, but it wasn't bad either, Kind of a ho-hum trip yesterday when we looking at crops. Bean pod counts yesterday were actually a little bit higher than last year. So overall, the bean counts were there, kind of like today. We're about the same as we were last year on bean pod counts.
After 4 days of running through the western Corn Belt and through parts of Nebraska and South Dakota that were both really not very good, has it changed your thought about the size of this year's crop?
To a certain degree. We need to see how Iowa finishes. I didn't disagree with what the Illinois number really came out as. Illinois number was still higher than the three-year average, so you got to remember that. There was a bad area in, like I said, Nebraska and South Dakota, because that's definitely going to pull things down. Overall, I would look for national average to drop a little bit. Now, how much, I guess we'll see what USDA says. But we do have some USDA guys on the trip with us out here, and they're kind of, looking at things, and, they're going to take that back with them and tell those guys about it and see what to come up with. But, North Dakota, we went in North Dakota. It's better than last year, so it won't detract from the national average, in my opinion. And I think the east side of Iowa, I've got some guys I talked to over there. That northeast side is just going to be huge. We're talking close to 300 on some bushels is what the guys are telling me. So will that make up for the stuff that's shortfall on the west? It could, at least on the west side of Iowa.
We're talking northeast Iowa, but from St. Paul, Minnesota, down roughly to Des Moines and over, and yes. You might maybe yes. Cut through Mason City, Cedar Falls, through to Iowa City in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Dyersville, where the Field of Dreams is at. And the guys that I know on this tour that are from southern Minnesota but east of here, they're talking like 240, 250. One of the guys that on tour is from that northeast Iowa side, and he's like, yeah, it's going to be 270 plus. So yeah, there's going to be some good stuff over there, So I would be looking for those kind of numbers coming out tonight. Overall, will Iowa be down from what USDA? I don't know. It's hard to say, So that kind of tells, you know, when you start thinking about the national average, you kind of got to take all those things into consideration. So overall, I would think, you know, maybe coming down a bit wouldn't be uncalled for, but I don't know if there's a, you know, 3 or 4 bushel drop coming.
All right, Sherman. Thank you.
You bet.
That's Sherman Newland. He is with Risk Management Commodities. Oh, wait a second. Did you hear that last part? Let me play it again for you.
I don't know if there's a, you know, 3 or 4 bushel drop coming.
That's Sherman Newland. He's with Risk Management Commodities from Hudsonville, Illinois, and has been updating us throughout the week from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Our thanks go to him. Let's turn our attention to the weather forecast now. Mike Tenura is here. He's with T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us this morning. I was traveling to Watsika, and Gary Schnitke and I were rained on as we headed up there to make a presentation to the customers of the First Trust and Savings Bank. Thanks to them, by the way, for having us up. However, I know that you were at the University of Illinois. Not only are you a trained meteorologist, but you're a trained ag economist, too. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. My thesis advisors were Gary Schnitke, Scott Irwin, and Daryl Good. So give a big shout out to Gary next time you see him for me.
I will indeed. Now let's talk about the weather forecast. That rainfall that we drove through this morning, was that very widespread?
It was widespread once you got to the north of central Illinois. The northern part of the state and Wisconsin also saw some pretty decent rains over the last 12 hours. That rain system is dissipating as we speak, and that's happening because it's moving into a drier air mass.
Do we expect rainfall over the next week or so to help the bean crop out across the Corn Belt?
We're certainly going to see some rain. It's just a matter of how much. There's a couple of showers and storms that'll fire up over the next 1 to 2 days in the Corn Belt. That happens as the cool front moves through, and then a warm front comes in right behind it. So some rapid temperature fluctuations there. Once we get into the weekend, a large cool front will approach from the west. Now, this front is not going to move very quickly, and it will eventually stall out somewhere in the Corn Belt later next week. As it approaches and moves through, we'll see scattered showers and storms in varying areas at varying times, starting on Saturday and Sunday, and then ending sometime a few days later. Now, we're not going to see widespread and heavy rain with this setup, but we will see scattered showers and storms. The main uncertainty regards whether or not we're going to end up on the lower side of rainfall with this system by getting most corn and soybeans around 1/2 of an inch, or if we might get lucky and start to see some bigger totals show up, if that can set up just right and produce higher totals of, say, 1 to 2 inches in varying areas over the course of this weekend and the first half of next week. It's still a little too early to tell, but we feel pretty comfortable putting a range in of 1/2 inch to 1 inch for most corn and soybean producers over the next 5 to 7 days.
In North Dakota, I know that they have a pretty decent crop that most there think that they got in late, and they're going to need some growing degree days, maybe a little heat sunshine in September. I'm hesitant to ask that far out, but do you think the month of September will be okay in the Northwest?
Well, the first part of it certainly will be. If you look at the setup that is developing for next week, we're going to see a large upper-level high form within parts of the western and central United States. Now, it doesn't really matter how far east or west this setup goes, because it will envelop the Dakotas in either scenario. That should leave them much warmer than normal this weekend, next week, and then probably over the first 5 to 10 days of September. So at this point in time, we think they should have a nice finish, at least in regards to the warm weather and not seeing an early frost or freeze over the first 7 to 10 days of the month. Now, along with that, Todd, the one thing we need to keep in mind is that whenever you see a large upper level high in September, which is somewhat common of our climate, that sets the stage for tropical storms and hurricanes to develop in the Atlantic Ocean and the Gulf of Mexico. There are several hints that some type of tropical system is going to form in early September, and maybe 2 or 3, depending on how everything works out. This is not alarming, this is not unusual, this is not something that we need to think too hard about. We just need to point out that the tropics will start to fire up once we get into next month. That's timed out very well because the peak of hurricane season is always the first third of September. And that's exactly what we're going to start to see here. Now, whether or not one of those makes it into the U.S. or brings rain to the Mid-South or even the Southern Corn Belt with time will take quite a while to figure out. But the more likely scenario is that any tropical storm that stay well to the south will see nice and mild weather up in the Dakotas, and everybody else will be in between with some showers here and there and a mix of normal to mild temperatures.
And finally, can we turn your attention to China, where this week we've heard a lot about drought there, but throughout the summertime, at least for the growing regions, you and others have not mentioned this. I don't know that it was a problem.
I would argue there wasn't a problem. If you look at rainfall over the last 60 days, most of China's corn belt was wetter than normal over this period of time. You could argue that it was a little bit dry over the last 30 days, especially across the southern half of China, but most of the corn is grown across the northern half of China. So 75 to 80% of this crop received decent rains over the course of the last 1 to 2 months, and that times up pretty well. Not only that, we saw pretty good rains back in the spring, so it's real challenging to see how we have a drought taking place in China. The one thing you might be able to argue is that it was unusually warm over the last 2 to 4 weeks. A lot of these areas of China were much warmer than normal in the southern part of the country. But again, most of the corn is grown in the northern part of the country. And even more importantly than that, Todd, as you move further and further north in China, you start to move away from irrigated corn and into dryland corn. And the dryland corn area was cooler than normal over the last couple of weeks. And they're all very cool right now across the entire belt. And that's going to continue for a while with a number of cool fronts moving through. So we're not sure how this story developed. Just looking at our maps, we don't really see the story here, at least where corn is produced.
Hey, thank you very much. Oh, and one last thing before I go. Can you take a look back over the summer months since we're now at the end of August? It was dry, but how dry was it and when?
Well, if we receive about 3/4 of an inch of rain through the end of the month, which is what we're forecasting, and we already talked a little bit about that, we would end up having the 17th driest June through August period of the last 128 years. So this is unusual to have it being that dry over the primary 3 months for corn and soybean production. Now, you need to keep in mind that most of that dryness was driven by what happened in June. June was among the 10 driest of the last 128 years. And the most we got into July, the seven-state corn belt had normal rainfall. And then in August, we're going to have normal rainfall again. So we're primarily having this problem because of what happened over the first third of the summer, as opposed to the second half, or the second two-thirds. So it's not an ideal setup, Todd. I mean, you get your best crops typically with a lot of rain in the summer. We didn't have that. For soybeans, though, we've been getting some rains over the last two-thirds of the season, which is when you would prefer to see them, as opposed to having June wet and August dry. So we'll see how all this pans out. But from a climatological standpoint, it has been pretty dry over the course of the summer across the seven-state corn belt. But again, most of that was driven by what happened at the start of the summer and not since.
Thank you very much.
Yep, great being here.
That's Mike Tenuri. He's with T-Storm Weather. Find him online at tstorm.net. Joined us here at the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. And there today, you'll find a running field tally from the crop scouts that are still fanned out across Minnesota and maybe some parts of Iowa. We'll have the updated numbers from those two states later this evening posted to the website. And of course, we'll talk with Brian Grady tomorrow about the national numbers that are developed by ProFarmer. Those are different than the tour. Those will be released just before the closing market report, and we'll have Brian on to talk about what the numbers look like. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.